Armenian folktale about six girls, young girls who came screaming out of a cave in alarm, and their retreat was so noisy that it attracted the attention of six robbers who kindly asked the girls what was the matter. And they said, "In the cave, we found a soul stealer." A soul stealer. Well, the robbers were intrigued. "Would you mind letting us see that soul stealer?" "Sure, come with us." And the girls took them into a cave where back in it was a large tub of gold, so large and so heavy, not even the six robbers could move it. And the six robbers kindly said to the young girls, "We'll take care of the soul stealer for you. Y'all can run along." And they did. The six robbers couldn't believe their good fortune, and three decided they would go into town to buy food for a celebratory meal. And on the way, they hatched a plan. "Let's eat a big meal in town, buy the food, and poison it. And when they eat it, they'll die. More gold for us." But while they were in town, the other three robbers hatched a similar plan, and when the first three came back, they fell upon them, killed them, ate the poison food, and died. The young girls came back to the cave a week or so later and found six stinking corpses. And they said to one another, "See, we knew it was a soul stealer." And they ran away again. The eighth commandment says, "Thou shalt not steal." And we think that has to do with property, respecting property, and it does. But it has even more to do with preserving the value of one's soul. Jesus comments in the Sermon on the Mount on the Ten Commandments, and on the Eighth Commandment, he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is sound, the body is full of light. But if the eye is not sound, the body is full of darkness. And if your light is darkness, if your light is darkness, how great is that darkness?" I think of a woman in Charlotte who was arrested some years ago, having shoplifted $50 worth of merchandise from a store. No big deal, happens all the time, right? But here's the thing. This woman had already been arrested, already convicted, and was awaiting sentence for having masterminded a large fraudulent business that had stolen millions. Public humiliation, scandal, arrest, conviction, none of those things could convince her to stop a lifestyle of stealing. She couldn't help it. She literally had lost. She had stolen her own soul. Contrast her behavior with that of a golfer by the name of Michael Thompson, who even the golfers in here may not recognize that name, though he's a current PGA player. But a few years ago, he was playing at the Masters as an amateur and was on the cusp of doing something very rare and extraordinary. He was about to make the cut. It was late in the round, and as he was standing over his putt, he suddenly stood up and called a penalty on himself. He said the wind had moved the ball. His competitors didn't see it. The slow motion cameras could barely notice a slight movement, but he saw it. He saw it. Could he have ignored it? Sure. But he understood the tripartite nature of stealing. You steal from the other players and the game, yes. You steal from the God who gave you talent. And you steal your own soul. This young man's eye was full of light. And so his whole being was full of light. And even those who don't remember his name still talk about his integrity around Augusta National. If the eye is full of light, the whole body is full of light. Some have said the eighth commandment is the least ethical of all the commandments, the least ethical. Because it seems to preserve the status quo, seems to preserve the haves over against the have-nots. Don't steal. But that would be a complete misreading of how the eighth commandment functioned in biblical history and beyond. The eighth commandment was a reminder to the powerful, you are not to dispossess the powerless. Think of Elijah, the prophet, going into the royal court of Ahab and saying to him, it was wrong for you to have stolen the vineyard of lowly Naboth. Thou shalt not steal. A biblical commentator said that conversation would not have happened in any other Middle Eastern court. Elijah would have been instantly killed or slowly tortured to death. But the eighth commandment establishes the right of property for all people. It says the powerful are not to use their power to dispossess the powerless. Thou shalt not steal. And yet, theft is more than about property. Theft is about our relationship with God and how we use what we have been given. One of the most gifted human beings in history published an autobiography in the 5th century, and it reads like it was published yesterday. His name was Augustine. And in his Confessions of Faith, he describes the soul of a bad kid. He said, I was the teenager whose soul was full of darkness. He talks about breaking into his neighbor's pear patch and taking their pears, their prized pears, not because he was hungry, but because it was forbidden fruit. He said, I tasted them and threw them away. He said, the evil was foul within me, and I loved it. It was only when he became a Christian that he realized the darkness that was within him, the stealing from those around him, the stealing from God, and the stealing of his own soul. He realized he had been a slave running away from his true master. How many of us have spent our lives running away from our true master? And when Augustine came to Christ, and as the light began to fill him, as his eye became full of light and his body became full of the light of Christ, he realized the depth of the darkness within. He realized he had been stealing his own soul, squandering his own talent. When I think of the eighth commandment, thou shalt not steal, the story that comes to mind is of two young men who met at college and were roommates. One, frank, cultured, moneyed, from a fine background. The other, Paul, son of an uneducated manufacturer who'd made millions and sent his son off to college as a concession to his mother. But he affixed the child on a very small stipend, so Paul was constantly borrowing money from Frank. And over time, that sum became pretty sizable, and at the end of the semester, Paul repaid Frank. No big deal. But when Frank got back to school at the start of his sophomore year, he realized Paul was not coming back. And then he realized Paul had borrowed money from everyone in the fraternity, everyone in the dorm, and Frank was the only one he had repaid. Paul's name became synonymous in their class lexicon as scoundrel and thief. Years passed, and on their 15th reunion, Frank was getting ready to introduce the main speaker when someone tapped him on the shoulder. He turned around and saw a small, trim, professorial-looking man who said to him, "Frank, it's me, it's Paul. I'm not drunk. I'm not here to make trouble. But after the speaker has spoken, I would like to say something. Would you let me?" And Frank, who loved drama, said, "Let you? I'll introduce you." The main speaker spoke. Nobody remembers a thing he said. But then Frank rose and said, "The man I'm about to introduce needs no introduction. You have heard his name often. And so I now give you Paul." This trim little man stood before his former colleagues and said, "I know what my name means to you. It means thief. It means liar. I was the kid who didn't pay his debts. I promise you, when I left school at the end of that year, I had a plan to make money and repay all of you, but as the summer waged on, I realized my plan was faulty. I didn't have the courage to go to my dad to ask for the money. I didn't have the courage to come back and face you, so I hopped a freighter and went all the way around the world, found myself in China and worked and made money. But on my way out of the country, I was set upon by robbers who took everything I had save my underwear and one little scrap of paper that meant nothing to them, but everything to me." He said, "I made my way to Switzerland. I became an English professor. I married a lovely young woman. We have four lovely children. And even though professors don't make much, I set aside a little bit by the way so that I could stand before you tonight and repay every single debt." And he pulled out a tattered, faded little scrap of paper with the name of every person to whom he owed money and how much he owed. And that Harvard class stood as one man in acclamation. Here was a young man whose eye was full of light, whose being was focused upon the words in the marrow of his being, "Thou shalt not steal." To keep faith with those to whom he was indebted was to keep faith with himself. He stood before those men and said to them, "I thank God that I have been allowed to stand before you and pay my debts." Not to do so, he knew, was to steal from them, to steal from God, but mostly to steal his own soul. And he was determined to be a good steward of what God had given him. It might interest you to know that Frank is known to history by another name. FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And he told the story of Paul many times because it struck him as the paragon of integrity. Thou shalt not steal. It's not just about respecting other people's property. It's about reminding ourselves that everything we have has been given to us by God, and we are stewards of it. All of our possessions, all of our talents, all of our time, it's really God's to spend for God, not for ourselves. And when we spend it for ourselves, when we try to hoard it, when we spend our lives trying to accumulate to aggrandize ourselves, we steal our souls. In the 1930s, there was a famous mayor in Toledo, Ohio, by the name of Golden Rule Jones, who tried to live the Golden Rule. And periodically, he would go into court, the police court, and preside. And the case that day was of a man who had stolen groceries so his family could eat. The man says, I am guilty, but my family was hungry. I have no money. I have no job. And Golden Rule said to him, sir, you've not stolen from society. You've stolen from a business, from a person. I fine you $10. And then the mayor reached into his pocket and pulled out $10 and gave it to the man and said, here, pay your debt. And then he said to the bailiff, take my hat and go around this courtroom and collect at least 50 cents from every person here. For us living in a society where a man has to steal to feed his family. Golden Rule Jones understood that what we have been given by God, we're meant to pour out as Christ has poured out for us, to improve the lives of those around us, to invest in God's kingdom. When we waste it, when we try to hoard it, we steal our future, we steal the future of others, and we steal from the future of God's kingdom. The Christian mystics had a wonderful phrase. Put your head inside your heart. Put your head inside your heart. What do they mean? They meant when you spent your brain power trying to accrue, trying to hoard, trying to aggrandize yourself, you've missed the point of life. When you put your head inside your heart and realize that your purpose is to pour out what you've been given, to be a steward of what you've been given for the benefit of others, then your eye is full of light. And the eye is the lamp of the body. If the eye is the lamp of the body, your whole body, your whole being is filled with light. But if what delights you, if what motivates you is darkness, if you spend your life in the service of darkness, how great is that darkness? Then the person you steal from is yourself, and you steal your soul. May we pray together. Father, we come into your presence knowing that your words seem on the surface so simple, and yet beneath them there are truths that cut to the heart of why we live. May we give what we have for your glory. May we invest our lives in your service, and in so doing, fixate upon the light of Christ
in whose name we pray. Amen.
We invite you, as the Spirit of God challenges you through this word, to claim the Christ, claim that light in the depth of your being so that your whole being might be light. To come into this fellowship and to be a part of this community of faith, that we invest ourselves together by transfer of letter or by statement. Splice your life into our communal life as we stand to sing together.